Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Well, it's kind of Steve Arterburn. You can't see me, but I'm actually here. I've asked them, in the absence of video, to put a little picture up there on top of one of the microphones, but they've not done that yet. Anyway, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Dr. John Townsend are here. They're in the house, and
hello. We
ever glad.
We are.
How
are
you guys doing?
We're doing well. We're doing well. And John is just on his way in, so.
Okay. Well, John sometimes needs time. Here, while he's on his way in, listen to this Every Man's Battle testimony. My introduction to pornography happened when I was 5 years old. I'm 40. All through my life of porn, fantasy, and impure sex, there's just been one form of it or another. The advent of the internet fueled the fire so much that it became such a big part of my life that it became my identity. I've been married for 12 years, and for all of that time, it has affected the intimacy with my wife. I have never known true intimacy with her. For many years, I had a picture in my mind of what and who I should be, and I tried many times on my own to move toward that picture, but was always unsuccessful. But now, after I went to the workshop, I started to feel that the journey to be the person that God wants me to be was possible. The person that my wife has always expected me to be is possible. And so I have left there desperately wanting and needing the buddies that I formed to achieve the possible. Thank you, New Life Ministries and Every Man's Battle staff. You are making a tremendous difference in my life and the lives of many others. Well, it really is a privilege for us to have Every Man's Battle be part of our ministry here at New Life. And
So much hope. In fact, Jason Martinkus did a spot on TV.newlife.com called Saving a Young Man and His Marriage. And we want you to know on that, TV.newlife.com, we've got lots of programs of hope and restoration on how to heal. And it's pennies per day. And $99 a year can get you into that program. And you can watch it, but there's a lot of hope in addiction, porn addiction.
Yeah. You just have to tell yourself, "I can do this. I can go and I can get this help." And I think you'll be surprised at just how helpful it will be. Also, not too far away are our passion principles for women. This is finding sexual freedom in marriage, and it's a workshop in Orange County by Shannon Etheridge. It's going to be powerful. She knows her stuff. She wrote the book, The Sexually Confident Woman. And when you take a sexually confident woman, put her with a sexually competent man, you've got something there.
It's a really good point you're bringing up, Steve, is when women have been hurt sexually, you know, past or present, childhood or adult, sometimes they kind of go, well, that's over, and I'll just be a good professional and have friends, have a ministry, have a job, be a good mom. And they kind of give up on that part of life.
Mm-hmm.
And God did not intend that. It was a huge gift, and they need to get it healed and get back in the game.
She talks about it, too, how it impacts that woman, how it impacts her husband. Mm. It actually makes a healthier home, healthier communities, and it all comes down to just having a healthy sense and healing over that wound that was intended to harm.
There you go.
But we can do so much change just through getting healed. And that's a great place to go to get it.
Mm-hmm. Stay tuned, for we're going to provide some healing right here.
I think that this culture teaches women that you should look a certain way, you should act a certain way, you should be available for your husband. They view sex as their marital duty. So many of them do not view sex as their marital delight. And that is sad to me, because I don't think that most men are looking for a wife who's just willing to be a sexual doormat. They're looking for an interested and motivated sex partner. There is nothing sinful about our sexual desires for one another in marriage.
The Passion Principles for Women workshop is coming to Orange County, California, October 10th through the 12th. Best-selling author of Every Woman's Battle, Shannon Etheridge, will help you understand female sexuality, expose the deeper meaning behind sexual thoughts, integrate sexuality and spirituality, and connect with your husband, mind, body, and soul. For more information or to register, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or online at newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Tamara has been holding since, I believe August the 4th. So let's go right.
She's been able to dust her living room, her dining room, right. Do a whole load of dishes and laundry.
Tamara from Plymouth, Massachusetts, listens on WORD. Hi.
Hi.
Tamara. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
good,
we can.
Good, how are you?
Doing all right.
Good. So I'm calling because I have a question about a friend of mine. She is recently married and got pregnant right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually used to be roommates. And so we're just very close friends. And the last time I spoke with her was probably about a few weeks ago or a month ago now. And when I had spoken to her, she said that she was just going through a rough time, feeling depressed. And so since that time, I've tried to get in touch with her, and I haven't been able to. She's typically a really, strong, competent person, and in our friendship, she's always been the one that I've gone to for advice and counsel, yeah, and always been able to give it. So I think when she's having a hard time, it's hard for her to reciprocate as far as opening up. And because she's usually so strong, it's hard for her to be vulnerable, and so she tends to withdraw. So I'm just concerned about her and wondering about how I might help her and reach out to her when I know she's going through a hard time, and I don't want to be, pushy or nagging, but I also want her to know that I'm there for her. I love her. I want to support her.
But did you say you can't contact her?
I've tried calling, I've tried texting, emailing, that kind of thing, and I've just gotten no response.
Okay. So, it's pretty hard to reach the unreachable.
I have a plan.
Right.
I have a plan.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay.
You live near her, don't you?
I don't, actually.
Oh, where do you?
We live now probably, 5 hours away. We were rooming together, and then she got married and moved, 2 hours away. And then I just recently moved 3 hours away from her, we're about 5 hours away now.
Got it. I've changed my plan just a little bit.
I
want you to go to Hallmark, and I want you to buy 14 cards. And I want you to, she's worth 14 cards. I want you to buy
she
four.
Absolutely is.
I know, I can tell. And I want you to send her a card a day. And all I want you to say on that card is one phrase that she knows that you know, and that you see her and that you know this is hard for her and that you're praying for her. But one phrase, like, I know this is a hard time for you, and I'm here. Mm-hmm. And that's all you send. Okay. No big letter. No, she's not in trouble. And then the next day you say, you've been there for me so many times.
Yes, absolutely.
And then ... I'm here for you. That's all you say, and you send it date number two. And after 14 days, I think sometime in that 14 days, she's going to respond. But I want you to flood her with one-liners of love and support.
Okay.
That's what I would
do. Great idea.
You know, those singing cards that they have?
Those are great.
Maybe she can find the one that plays... Open up, let me in, woo, woo.
Look for one of those.
That would really help.
You know, one of those singing cards would be great nestled in all of those because it would make her laugh.
Well, she does love music.
Good.
Yeah.
Love it, Steve.
Great. I just felt called to say that. All right, hey, I'm going to send you a copy of, what's your friend book, John? What is it?
How to Be a Best Friend Forever.
There you go.
How to send
cards
for 14 days. That'll change everything.
Yeah,
it's the
sure solution. I love it.
Yeah, there it's a great idea. Yeah, we'll send you the book, and Sherry's got a great idea there. Go ahead and do it. It's a very good idea.
You know what my solution to everything is?
Chocolate. No.
Yeah, no, you send brownies.
Oh, see, I was close.
it's all you have to do, a little brownie. Let's go to Holly from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And let's talk with her. Hello, Holly. Holly, how are you doing today? Holly. Well, I wonder where Holly is.
I think she's there. Holly?
Holly?
I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
How you doing?
Yeah, we're good,
hey,
Holly.
Thank you so much.
Well, okay, how could we help you today? What's on your mind?
Yes. My husband wants to file for divorce. And I want to save my marriage, and I'm not sure what else I can do. Mm. He suffers from ADHD, and he is on medication for the past 9 months, which has helped a lot. But he also has a huge problem expressing himself. He always tells me that he can't find the words, and he also has a hard time understanding people. He says that, like, a lot of times he's listening and he's trying to understand, but he just can't understand what people are saying to him.
And, now, those are problems, but they're not reasons for somebody to divorce you. Why does he say he wants to leave you?
Yeah, really.
Well, we've been through a lot the past few years. His best friend died in 2009. Last summer, after his best friend died, then he suffered from depression for 2 to 3 years. The medication helped a little bit, but not a lot. And so last spring he said, I just went off the medication. I can't take it anymore. So he went off, with the doctor's help, he went off of the depression medication, and he actually did get a lot better because we also started counseling at the same time. And he said that counseling really helped. But when we started digging a little bit deeper in counseling after about 4 months, he developed really severe anxiety just thinking about what we might talk about in counseling, and he said, I need a break. I can't go any longer. So we stopped going, and then a few months later, things started to get a lot better. He really seemed like he was working on things, and then he found something. It's hard to explain, but he found something that made him very upset with me, and instead of talking to me about it, he just, like a turtle that goes into a shell, he just pulled in and was quiet for about 2 months, and I kept asking him, what's wrong? Nothing, I don't feel good, or I'm tired, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And then in May, he started just staying out all evening. And
what did he find?
When we were dating, he had had sexual issues, and I had found some files on his computer, and I saved it to disk so that I could approach him about it and talk to him about it.
What kind of files?
Well, pictures of naked girls and that he'd had sex online with.
Oh, gosh.
Took, like, screenshots.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he I talked to him about it when we were dating, and I told him, this isn't the type of relationship that I want. I'm done. He got very upset. He cried. He said, I'm so sorry. It was so dumb of me. I do love you. I want to be with you. And so I said, you know, okay, let's move forward, and we'll see how this goes. So we stayed together, but I moved, right after that time when I saved those files. So I tucked those CDs away in a box and totally forgot about it. Well, last summer, whenever he had an emotional affair, I found those CDs whenever I was going through a lot of things, and I was looking at them on my computer, and I saved some of those files on my computer.
So he got upset that you had held on to them.
Yes. And so last summer he said, let's start new. Let's get rid of all this. And I agreed. Okay, let's do that. Let's start new. I don't want to keep this at all. So we shredded the CDs. But this was when he found them. It was also a couple of months after I had saved some of them to my laptop. My laptop stopped working. So I stopped using it, and I completely forgot that I had done it.
Okay, so he got upset, and then he started going out late, and then he said he wanted to leave you, right?
Yes.
You're talking, Holly, you're talking like you're in trouble. Hmm. Like you've done something wrong.
Yeah, it's true.
There's something wrong that's going on in your marriage, but how I hear you is like you're wrong and bad for having these pieces of evidence. I could see why a woman would want to have those and want to hold on to them and want to have a conversation. It's frightful to find that out about the man you're with. So I want to tell you, you've done nothing wrong. Something wrong has happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened to your relationship.
Yeah. That's how he makes me feel, like I did something so terrible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if he were on the air right now and we said, Sam, why do you want to leave her? What would he tell us?
He says, because it's just not going to work.
And we'd say, okay, what does that mean?
Eye to eye.
We don't see eye to eye. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is a bad situation. So tell us how we can help you.
I want to save my marriage because I know that there is really good stuff in between all this bad stuff. I'm not sure what to do at this point. He wants to file for divorce, but he's been saying it for 6 weeks now, and he hasn't done anything. So I'm not sure
What would happen if you said, I understand how you feel. I understand what you want. But would you be willing to just spend one weekend with me? And you ask him if he would go to our marriage weekend. I think if he would go to our marriage weekend, I think your marriage would be saved. And I think you would have a new foundation. The depression that he experiences over the loss of his son would have a trajectory of healing, and I think the pornography would be addressed, and I really believe it would change his life, but more than anything, it would save your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like, don't you want to be able to say, we did everything we could? I'm asking you just for one last thing.
Yeah.
Let's hear from Sherry and John on what...
Yeah, I'm going to point you to a few things that I've done on betrayal trauma, betrayal blindness, and something called gaslighting. Because I think your husband's struggling still. I think he's got a problem. And what he does is he spins it and makes it your problem so that you take your eyes off of the real problem in your marriage. You start feeling bad and you lose. Gaslighting is a concept where it comes out of a movie that happened a long time ago. But just watch it on tv.newlife.com. But it erodes your sense of core and what's right and wrong. And it puts you in a weakened state. It takes away your hunches. And
destroys your intuition.
It destroys your intuition, takes away your hunches. And your hunches may guide you guys into repair. I think there's a problem going on under your roof, but nobody's talking about it. And he's spinning it on you, and you're feeling responsible. And that's the problem to start with.
Yeah.
We got to get you stronger, and we got to get him into care, right? Him into recovery.
Yeah.
That is the answer right there.
That sounds like a good plan.
Are you on tv.newlife.com?
No.
Okay. I'm gonna give you a subscription because this stuff that Sherry did is meant for you. And it really looks at this from a perspective of not just looking at dirty pictures, but traumatizing a woman like you. And I think Sherry's very perceptive in saying that it sounds like you feel like you've done something wrong. That's what sex addicts do. They're very good at it. But if you watch what Sherry put on there, on the victimization versus trauma, it's amazing.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content, content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Dr. Sherry Keffer and Steve Arterburn here, and Dr. John Townsend, all here for you. And let's go to another caller, and let's go to Linda from Beaumont, Texas, and she listens on KWRD. Hello, Linda.
Hello. How are you? Thank you.
Good.
For
how
my
you
call.
Doing? How are you?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. My question is, I'll paint you a scenario. I've been married three times, 15, 32, and 35. And still, the majority of my life I've been alone. But I've never been married in Christ. My thing is it too late? Should I just say, okay, you know, I've had my opportunity to move on, and just be married to Christ and whatever it is He has for me to do. The other thing is how not to choose unhealthy people in my life.
Okay. How old are you?
I'll be 59 in August.
Okay. And what happened in these divorces? Did Did they were they unfaithful to you or what?
Well, my first marriage, I was 15 years old, and we just I married to please my mother. That didn't work. The second person, I was just impatient and in rebellion, and had been single for so long, and I married somebody who was abusive and controlling and horrible. And the second person, I just jumped into a relationship after knowing him for 6 weeks. Just out of fear of being alone and tired of being alone. But I didn't have the skills to choose the right people in my life, even though with those two as adults, I was a Christian. I still didn't know how to choose the right people in my life. I acted more on my emotion and my need than common sense, and I chose people in my life that weren't safe, didn't treat me or value me in the way that I needed to be or expected.
Hey, Linda, why don't you instead of giving up, I mean, God helps us over and over again. Why don't you just get the skills and do it right the fourth time?
But, I mean, you hear so many pastors and people say, well, you know, if you were divorced once and it wasn't for adultery, I mean, you know, I believe God forgives all sin. He knew what I would do in my life before I did it. But, I mean, you have so many people that tell you that it's wrong to be married again, but I just never have been married in Christ, and I just hate to give up. Because
you left this third marriage not on the basis of adultery? Is that what you're saying?
No, actually, he deserted the marriage himself. He married me for convenience sake. And I found out right after we were married, but I was in denial, so I tried to stick with it, and I just got to the point where I couldn't take the treatment. It was a mixed marriage, and he really was ashamed of what people thought of being married to a black woman, and so I gave him a way out, the way out he really wanted, and he told me that it wasn't my fault that he was going to leave anyway. You know, he just was just biding the time because he couldn't deal with the stigma in Texas attached to that at that particular time.
Goodness.
That was in 1990. And so he's tried to come back, but he's not different. He still wants the old me. That way there's no accountability, and I can't do it.
Yeah.
You
know,
so do you?
Not that he didn't try to reconcile.
So, Linda, do you know what the longest conversation Jesus had in the Bible is?
No, I don't think so.
He had
never thought about it.
He had it with the woman at the well.
Ah.
Who had multiple relationships. In fact, she was on number 5, and she wasn't even living with him. And guess what Jesus brought to her?
Forgiveness and hope.
Yeah. He helped to take away her shame. And I'm hearing a woman that is in a lot of shame and that may be really afraid to do what John just invited you into, which was getting down to the hard work and figuring out what has happening. It almost feels to me like you go from deprivation to merge, and then it could be your people picker. I used to attend John and Henry's Monday Night Solutions because I had a failed marriage. I had a lot of shame. And you know what I did? I went every Monday night and sat under their teaching. And then I started up with one of their group. They had a therapist that was going to do groups. I was in a group for 3 years with one of their guys.
That's what it took.
Mark McMillan. I was with a group, and I had to do some serious repair work because I had intimacy issues. My people picker was growing, and I was a merger. I was a mess.
I never thought I was worthy of it. I didn't even think I was entitled to it. And yes, my people picker is broken up.
Honey, that's just
parents
how
that, you know, didn't know how to love or reach out. Or I realized God has shown me that I have a lot of work to do, and I have been working, and I am better, but I still got a long way to go.
Well, and I
did, too. I want healthy people and healthy relationships in my life.
It's the work, my dear. I don't think we have a wand, but it is, I mean, it is healing the hard way by showing up and getting into a relational group and getting into deep therapy and figuring out what you keep doing and then stop that.
Yeah, you know, Jesus talked about, in Mark 4, he talked about how the farmer planted these plants, and then the soil all by itself fixed the plant. When you got bad fruit, you know, bad apples in your life, bad relationships, you don't fix those. You go back into the soil and say, am I not experiencing nutrients and grace and love and truth and wisdom and healing? You got to get back in that soil. It sounds like you are doing some work, but I love what Sherry said. There may be more work to do so that your people picker gets fixed. The people picker is an apple. Yeah. It's not a root.
So maybe we also go back to one of the shortest conversations Jesus ever had when he said to a bunch of men, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone."
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are, and they give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems, and where to get help, and how to get help, and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we are back. And once again, I just want to say how meaningful it is to so many people to be part of tv.newlife.com. These are not 30-minute programs. These are 8, 15, 20-minute pieces on a specific subject that you have said you want us to address. And I got to tell you, it has exceeded all expectations. So if you've not gone to tv.newlife.com, please, please go.
Here's now, one of the topics. Henry does one called Leadership at Home, how to kind of take charge of what needs to happen with your kids. There's a million topics like this.
Right. And
it's a good one.
It's just a great place to turn when you don't have the answer to, and you need some advice quick. There it is. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or just go to tv.newlife.com. Now let's talk to Joanne from Monroeville, Pennsylvania, listening on WORD. Hi.
Hi.
How could we help you today?
Well, I'm calling about my husband. We've been married for over 23 years, and we've been in counseling, biblical counseling, and a counselor made a comment to me saying that she thought that my husband had Asperger's syndrome.
Okay.
And so I'm trying to figure out, I'm reading some things about what it means, and also I'm trying to figure out how can he be counseled, because it seems impossible as far as biblical counseling.
So you've read what it's all about. Do you think that that's what the problem is?
I think it could be. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's leaning towards that.
What does he do for a living?
He does maintenance, and he had lost his job. He was a respiratory therapist.
Hmm. Okay.
What does he do that makes you think, or the therapist think, that he has Asperger's? It has several specific symptoms.
I guess probably in the emotional part. He's like an emptiness fear. He's not relational. He's more like a public communicator, where he can just elaborate on public things and not move into the next level in a relationship. He has a way about him that's coming off as if he's arrogant or even also uncaring, and all his children think that he doesn't care.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I would do is that the things you just listed, they could be Asperger's, but they could also be other things too. Like you could have what we call an attachment issue or a detachment issue, when someone who doesn't have a neurological issue like Asperger's would be, they've been hurt or they've been imploded on or they've been intruded on or whatever. I'm not sure I would go into how to handle an Asperger's spouse unless you got a really get a really good diagnosis. So I'd probably go to your marital therapist and say, find somebody for us that we can go and get a full diagnosis on whether he has this or not. Because you don't want to go down a path if he's instead just got some real emotional detachment issues.
That's
which
right.
Should be woken up.
Yeah.
So you need more information.
That's right.
Okay.
I was just going to ask how you...
I was just going to say we're finished with the counseling because it's nothing. He says that they don't understand men's issues, and so we're not able to get any. He says what they say are pretty good things, but he says, you know, they're not for him.
Did the therapist before y'all terminated, did the therapist tell him that he or she thinks your husband has Asperger's, or just to you privately?
It was me privately. It was like separate counseling, and he was talking with her husband. So she may have mentioned it to her husband, but her husband was dealing with some other things.
Wait a minute. You're saying the person that said that he has Asperger's has not met him or worked with him?
She's suspecting he may have it.
That's
she didn't say
tough.
He had it. It was a biblical counselor.
Well,
so
now we got like third-hand information from somebody who ever met the guy. That's kind of dangerous stuff.
Well,
I'm
sorry. We did eventually come together.
Oh, she
worked
with him.
Started off with personal counseling for me.
Yeah, get a third opinion. If he does have Asperger's, you ask him to go. Find somebody in the community that's good at that. There's a lot of people you can find. And if he does have it, then you will answer some questions about why is he so detached, why don't the kids relate to him. And then you find out what the skills are that someone who has Asperger's has. Sherry and Steve and I talk about it. They don't know when they're getting too close or not close enough. They have a hard time with eye contact, empathy. But I don't even want you to go there till you really have a clear diagnosis.
Right.
Right.
Okay. I'm glad you called, and let me send you a copy of the 7-Minute Marriage Solution. I hope that it will be helpful to both of you, and we'll get that right off to you. And really glad that you called. And you know, we will have to do a little piece for TV.newlife.com on Asperger's. I think that'll help.
Or the whole PDD spectrum of pervasive developmental disorders.
Yeah, it would be so helpful.
That'd be
to
a
do
very
that.
Helpful one. That's a good idea.
If right. somebody does have Asperger's, I've seen a SPECT scan, and it's like their brain is on fire on the inside. There's so much overactivity and blood flow that if we were to have their brain, we'd be that information driven. It's like a computer that's on steroids, and so it's too active of a brain, and if they're not calm inside, they're busy inside, and that's why they come off very distracted. And you know, they're a bit like computers. When you talk, they give you a lot of data points and information because they get a lot of information, but you don't feel connected to them. And
you're saying my laptop's not my best friend? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
and gosh,
I think I've your never, wife's a lot cuter than that laptop.
I've never met a person with it who wasn't extremely brilliant. Now, maybe they're out there, but every person I've met with Asperger's had an IQ that was higher than mine, that's for sure. So
a lot of people hire. There's companies now that are hiring people with Asperger's to fill positions because they're such hard workers, they're so detail-orientated, and they don't chit-chat. I mean, it's it's amazing.
It's a skill set.
Yep.
All right. Let's go to Richard from Sacramento, California, KFIA. Hi, Richard.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
Well, the reason I've been contemplating calling you guys for weeks and weeks, I just haven't had the nerve to. And about 5 years ago, I divorced this person that I clearly should never have married to begin with. Actually, I'm glad she's gone. I'm glad it's over. But the aftermath of the marriage traumatized me to know, and I'm still traumatized to this day. It's kind of convoluted. I'll try to start from the beginning, if that's okay. So
sure.
Okay. Well, what happened was I married I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for 40 years, and I married a non-Christian, and she was in the occult. And this happened in another state. I moved back to California about 4 months ago, and much happier here. I'm near family. But I married. I felt about 8 years ago. I felt estranged from my family. And as a way out, I married this person who I barely knew, and she was in the occult. She claimed to be a witch and all this. And the marriage only lasted 2 years, and when it ended, she left, and I didn't really shed any tears over it so much. But she left me with a bunch. She was a cat hoarder, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like cats too, but she left me with a half dozen cats, and the cats turned into a dozen, and I was trying to get a hold of her to come and take some of these cats away because she brought them into the house because they were ruining the house. And well, next thing I knew, I'm in trouble. She's calling the cops on me, and I'm in trouble with the law, which is not the reason, part of the reason I'm calling. The whole legal thing traumatized me to no end. I got two misdemeanors for disturbing the peace, and I was able to continue my work because my job knew.
Well, we're going to have to get to a. We're going to have to get to a question here pretty quick.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I don't. I feel like I'm being. I can't seem to move on from one, the legal thing, and two, I feel like I'm being punished for. Marrying this non-Christian, it's really affected my ability to find another job. It's my self-esteem to a certain extent. And I'm just wondering how I can just go beyond and just move on from this. It was a stupid mistake. I shouldn't have married the person, and I would like to move on.
The relationship still has a hold on you.
Yeah, and you sound very fragile.
Now, not so much a hold on me. I'm glad she's gone,
but the
aftermath has a hold on me.
The aftermath, okay.
The belief that was birthed out of that trauma event is I did something wrong, and that is holding you back.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take this break and come back for a final segment of New Life Live. Glad you're with us.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery, and it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I think that this culture teaches women that you should look a certain way, you should act a certain way, you should be available for your husband. They view sex as their marital duty. So many of them do not view sex as their marital delight. And that is sad to me because I don't think that most men are looking for a wife who's just willing to be a sexual doormat. They're looking for an interested and motivated sex partner. There is nothing sinful about our sexual desires for one another in marriage.
The Passion Principles for Women Workshop is coming to Orange County, California, October 10th through the 12th. Best-selling author of Every Woman's Battle, Shannon Etheridge, will help you understand female sexuality, expose the deeper meaning behind sexual thoughts, integrate sexuality and spirituality, and connect with your husband, mind, body, and soul. For more information or to register, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking with Richard, who married a witch, and it was all 5 years ago, and it's still, the emotional impact is still there, and we want to help him get rid of that. And I'm just wondering, Richard, why you haven't gotten rid of the cats?
Oh, I did. I got rid of them, and I actually have one cat now, but I got rid of the 12, and took a while, and some of the cats died, and I feel bad about that. But that's not why they're gone. So, but what isn't gone is just the aftermath of the whole the legal, the emotional, the the whole thing really traumatized me.
Do you think that God is holding it against you still that you married a non-Christian?
I think I know he's forgiven me, but I think I haven't forgiven myself, and and I haven't been able to move on from it. If I could do it over again, I would never have married her. I would even like to find, if I could, I'd like to annul the marriage if I could. So
Listen. Yeah, I hear the regret dripping out of the corners of your mouth.
Yeah,
And they are into the recesses of your mind.
Yes.
And you must simply find a way to live beyond the regret of a marriage from 5 years ago.
And it's cumulative too, Richard. It wasn't just one event. It was a snowball event, series and series. It's like waves of these painful things that kept coming over you. And so I did a spot on tv.newlife.com. I'd love, love, love for you to listen to it. It's on a kind of treatment that's for trauma. You brought up the trauma, and it's called EMDR, which stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And because I can hear your belief already, it is I did something wrong. And that can set us up to be fearful. It can set us up to not make choices, can set us up to be immobile. John, you probably see this all the time in the workplace. Mm-hmm. These beliefs are really disempowering. But you know where I would be taking you? The negative belief is I did something wrong. What my goal would be, and your goal would be, is I can make mistakes and learn.
Yeah.
And if somehow, somewhere, and you might need that type of therapy to help you get there, but that's the goal for you, is to be able to embrace it. Didn't Henry do something recently on mistakes and getting,
I think
he did. On the tv.newlife.com. Mm-hmm. Look at that one as well, because we make mistakes, and guess what comes out of that? A whole lot of learnings for us, and we have to give ourselves grace at some point and forgive ourselves in order to get free.
Yeah,
I'm going to send you two books. One is Healing is a Choice. The other is Never Go Back. That's Henry's new book. And
I didn't even know about that one.
You can't go back because you've never left. And I know you feel like, or you say that you have, but it's obvious that the problem is still there. So I'm going to send that to you, and I hope that that'll be a blessing to you. And you know, we've got a great segment on tv.newlife.com. That segment is about marrying a non-Christian, and maybe if you go there, it'll give you some insight that you don't have. So I'm glad you called, Richard. Let's go to Kim real quick and see if we can get a quick question in here before we have to go. Kim, don't have a lot of time, but do you have a quick question?
Hi, I'm glad to be accepted my call. I listen to you all the time on a podcast.
Thank you.
I listen to everything that's been said of the previous callers. I could relate to all of them. My situation is I'm married for 27 years, and everything went smoothly till we hit a crisis, and I'm identifying with the attachment issue. My husband doesn't connect very well emotionally, and he's withdrawn. The more I press in, the more I try to draw him out, he just pushes further away. And I'm wondering if I just should give up.
Okay. Have you tried anything recently?
I have, for the last 3 years, been participating in Celebrate Recovery. I listen to tv.newlife.com. I listen and watch all the videos. I read through the How We Love book. And I agree with all of it. Gone to counseling. For 2 years, I begged. He said our marriage would be over if we went. Finally, gave in. But he's being really just super surface. And
what was the crisis?
What
was the crisis?
Well, like I said, we had no major issues. I lost my parents 23 and 17 years ago, but it didn't destroy me.
But I thought you said something like it was okay marriage and then there was a crisis.
Yeah, well, we had an audit and we're self-employed. And that was really hard on him, even though I did everything. Mm. He just pulled away, stressed. And I'm triggered by those things and become codependent, and I've been dealing with that. And I think because I changed, he pulled away more. Then I had a car accident, and he's stressed because he's worried we'd be sued and lose everything. He wasn't stressed about me. In fact, he wasn't there for me emotionally. He just said he couldn't. And then his mother
What's the question for us then?
How long do I keep trying before I come? I hear you say the thing, don't look back, but look forward. At what point do I quit being wishful and just quit?
Well, it seems like to me you have to start doing some different things than you're doing. John, Sherry, what do you think it might be a way for things to be better?
Kim, how deeply do you know why he, in his experience, why he's disconnected? I know that you're a grower. I mean, I can hear you're into the material and you're working your program and all that good stuff. But how deeply do you know why he thinks he's pulling away? Not your perspective, but his.
Really big difference in our backgrounds. I came from an intact family.
Now, we're running out of time. Do you know what he would say? Not Kim's experience, but what your husband would say. If you were on the air right now and we said, hey, you're pulling away from Kim. If I had him on the air and I said, hey, Sam, Kim's a nice person. Why are you pulling away? What would he tell us?
We don't communicate.
Okay. That's what he'd say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then I'd say, well, would you like to learn? What would he say?
I really can't speak for him, but I've heard him say that it's all my fault.
All right. And your counseling has not involved him, or has it been individual or marital or what?
Well, he would not go, so I went alone because I was advised to go anyway.
Yeah, we always say that. Right.
Yeah.
So he's never
decided to go.
Oh, he did?
All right. The same person to set him straight, I guess.
We're almost out of time.
Oh, goodness, I know. We should have more time. Okay, Kim, let me give you the... sorry about the time problem. Is what I would suggest at this point, because no, I don't think you ought to give up, is to have a time with him, with a professional, because y'all's communication has broken down, where you say, I love us, I'm not happy with us, I'm lonely, but I want to know what I'm doing to contribute to this. Sometimes a guy like that, if they just had their day in court where you don't edit and you don't say, but you're wrong here, this is your background talking or whatever, you just say, I want to get it. I'm not going to agree or disagree. I'm going to get it. Sometimes they'll feel inside themselves, Kim gets it. She's just listening to me now. And I'm kind of venting and unloading. And sometimes they feel like, gosh, she didn't go away. She didn't parent me. She didn't check me out. And they begin to feel this little bridge, and the bridge is a way then for God to begin to bring people closer. Have that, that session.
Well, you hear the music.
I'm so sorry.
And our time is up. Help us if you can. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and join tv.newlife.com. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.